Mark chapter 2. Those of you who are aware of the way the Gospels are laid out probably are already questioning what we're doing in the Gospel of Mark if this is a Christmas message, because Mark doesn't really deal with the Nativity. Mark doesn't really deal with the birth of Christ. Mark's audience was largely Roman, and quite frankly, the Romans didn't care. They didn't care where Jesus was from. They didn't care about his lineage. They didn't care about his birth. They were interested in his actions. The Romans were people of action. So when you read Mark, Mark pretty well starts out with Christ as an adult and starts on his miracles and just goes on talking about rapid fire, all the things that Christ did. That would have appealed to his Roman audience. But he does say something in the early part of the book that I think is appropriate for us to consider this Christmas season. And that is exactly, he tells us, or Christ reveals to us, his reason for being here. I don't know if you've ever pondered that just a little bit, why Christ did what he did, why he went through the process, why things happened like they did. But he reveals that to us. And as we started last week, a series that I have been calling, started calling the Island of the Misfit Toys. If you're familiar with, if you remember Rudolph, the cartoon, the really wasn't a cartoon, I don't know what you call that, animation, I guess, more than a cartoon. You remember that as the story goes, Rudolph, obviously the red-nosed reindeer, and they wouldn't let him join in any reindeer games. And he meets up with one of the elves, Hermie, and Hermie was also a misfit. Hermie was an elf that wanted to be a dentist when he grew up. And because of that, he didn't want to work on toys. He wanted to run a dentist shop. And so the other elves and even Santa Claus were disapproving of Hermie. And so after Rudolph is rejected from the reindeer games, and Hermie isn't going to get. They don't want him to be a dentist. They run away, for a lack of a better term, and they run off. And eventually, they end up on an island called the Island of Misfit Toys. And we started last week. I told you about some of those misfit toys. As they arrive on the island, they're greeted by the sentry, a Jack in the Box. But his name wasn't Jack. He was Charlie in the Box. And so he gets introduced, and there on the island, there's a water gun that shoots jelly. There's a bird that can't fly, it only swims. There's a boat that doesn't float, only sinks. There's a train with square wheels. There's all kinds of things along those lines. And it just reminds me, honestly, of where most of us are. Most of us probably feel a little more comfortable on the island of misfit toys than we do out in the real world. We, all of us, we may like to put on a brave face, a little bit like we talked about Dolly last week. She looks normal. She's got, she looks normal, sounds normal, but the producers say she represents all those that are hurting internally. And that's, I think, most of us can identify with those misfits. And as they, all the toys break out into a song, and Rudolph and Hermie are going to get introduced to a guy by the name of King Moonracer. Now, King Moonracer is in charge, we learn, of the island of misfit toys. And I want to take and show you just a few seconds of the story this morning. We're going to try. I hate electronics, except when they work.
Hey, we're all misfits too. Maybe we should stay here for a while.
Well, you'd have to get permission from King Moonracer.
Who's he?
He rules here. Every night he searches the entire earth. When he finds a misfit toy, one that no little girl or boy loves, he brings it here to live in this island till someone wants it. He's holding court in his castle right now.
King Moonracer. Did you hear what his job was? That every night he scours, he searches the earth for the toys that nobody loves, for the ones that are misfits, and he brings them back to the island of misfit toys. And I thought about that, and I said, what a job. you know, what a task to go out and find all those misfit toys and to bring them back and to put them on this island. I thought about it, as King Moonracer goes out, that's really what Jesus says his job's been about, that he came looking for the misfit toys. In fact, that's one of the reasons that the world rejected Christ, because he hung out with the misfit toys. He operated with the misfit toys. Quite frankly, he was a misfit. His parents were misfits. His disciples were misfits. His followers were misfits. He didn't hang out with those that did fit. And one day, because of that, the religious people, they come to him and they ask him that question. Exactly, why are you hanging out with the misfits? Why do you keep running with all these people? Why do you keep hanging out with the lepers? And why do you keep hanging out with the blind people? Why do you keep hanging out with the deaf? Why do you keep hanging out with the sinners and the prostitutes and that group? And Jesus responds to them with an interesting line that I want us to look at this morning. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, he gives an interesting story when they say, why do you hang out with the sinners? Why do you hang out with this crowd? Jesus gives an interesting answer. He says very simply, because they need me. Because they are the ones that need me. He says this in Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He says, I hang out with them because the healthy don't need a doctor. The healthy have no need of a physician, only the sick. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to redeem the sinner. He said, the sick people are the ones that need a doctor. The misfits are the one that needs a doctor. Thank God I needed a doctor. I may have not had King Moonracer, but I had the King of Kings who came, who scoured the earth looking for the misfits. The Bible says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm not looking for my car keys right now because I know where they are. So I don't need to look for them. They're not lost. You only search for something that is lost. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, that He came seeking that which was lost. He came for the sick. He came for those that needed Him. He said the righteous, the religious, He said, they don't need me, or at least they don't think they need me. Any of you who have ever, men, bear with me a minute, I'm going to throw us under the bus. I think we are the worst, men are the world's worst, who don't think they need a doctor. Oh, I'm all right. Pansy's laughing. I know the story she's thinking of. You take a man and wipe his arm off and blood squirting out, I'll be all right. That's just the way we are. Jesus says the religious, they don't think they need a doctor. They don't need a doctor. But the sinner, the sick, they need a doctor. And there's three things I want us to understand and learn about this. This, again, I think goes a long way towards the Christmas story. Why do we have a Christmas story? Why do we have the story of the birth of Christ? Because the sick need a doctor. Now, that's why we have the Christmas story. And so Jesus here tells us that. And so I want you to see three things that statement points us to that we need to understand. First of all, it exposes a real problem. It exposes a real problem. Jesus says here that those that are whole, they have no need of a physician. But those that are sick, they're the ones that need a physician. So this kind of exposes for us this huge problem that still exists today. Jesus tells us, first of all, when He says the sick need a doctor, what's He telling us? He's telling us that there are those out there who are sick. He's telling us there are those out there who are in need of a doctor. Do you know why people keep going to medical school? Because there are always going to be sick people. There are always going to be people who need a doctor. And sometimes I'm afraid the church gets so insulated, so isolated, that we forget there are sick people out there who need a physician. There are sick people out there who need to be introduced to the great physician. And so this statement of Christ introduces us and exposes us to a problem. There are people out there who need Christ. It also exposes a second side of this problem is, and that is many times the righteous themselves don't realize there are sick out there. They overlook the fact that there are people who need a physician. And so he says there are those out there that are sick. And so he gives us both groups. He didn't come to call the righteous. Certainly there are righteous. But obviously, we need to be reminded that there are those out there who are sick. There are those out there who are hurting. There are those out there who are lost without Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of needs out there. And the problem, Jesus says, is I came to deal with that issue. I came to help with that problem. And the Church of Jesus Christ in 2015 has to understand that the lost are everywhere around us. The simple fact is, if you take the numbers, by and large, if you take the numbers, estimated 75% of Cabarrus County being lost, and you take that number, and if this coming Sunday, every one of those lost people show up at a Bible-believing church, we don't have enough seats for those lost people. We don't have enough places for them to sit down. And so there's a problem. There are plenty of sick around us. But I think a good analogy, and I don't know what kind of doctor's office you go to, but it dawned on me as I thought about this, I had to go for my checkup this week. And I can remember growing up, I went to a family physician, and he operated like this. He unlocked the door at about 7:30, and people would already be in line. And you went in and you signed up to see the doctor. Didn't need an appointment, you signed up. And if you got in there before, I believe it was 4:30, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, you saw the doctor. If he had to stay till 8 o'clock, Tuesday he closed at lunchtime because he's going to play golf. Saturday I believe he was there till 11. If you got in, you saw the doctor. And we all sat around in one great big old waiting room and hacked and wheezed on each other. Y'all remember those kind of doctors. But there's a new phenomenon that I've noticed in doctor's offices today. I noticed this this week when I went to my doctor. As you come in the front door, you are in the waiting room. And I would say the waiting room in my doctor's office is, I don't know, probably from, say, this wall out to, probably about where Dale's sitting deep, and maybe as wide as this sanctuary. I don't know. Pretty good sized room. And that is the waiting room. But over, and I don't know if y'all's doctor has this or not, if they start this, over in this corner over here, to the left of when you come in, there's this door. And it goes into this little closet looking room that is probably about the size of about half of this choir loft. It might probably about that size. Now, the television is out here in the big waiting room. It looks to me like all the reading material is out here in this big waiting room. But over here in this little tiny room in my doctor's office, where the door, the little sign outside the door says, sick waiting room. At the doctor's office. Over in the corner, in the little tiny room, with no TV and no magazines, and I didn't really pay attention if it had good chairs or not, is the sick waiting room at the doctor's office. Are y'all with me? Does anybody else kind of, is that just something about that just doesn't quite... just doesn't quite line up. That the great big room is for the well people. And the little tiny room at the doctor's office is for the sick people. And it made me wonder exactly what they go to school for. It made me wonder exactly what the purpose of that joint is. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm not sick, I'm not there. Most of the time, when I am sick, I try not to be there. If they'd just call in what I want, I wouldn't be there. But the sick get put over in a little corner off to the side away from the well people. If you're sick and you come to the doctor, sit over there. Now, folks, as I thought about that, I thought that helps explode and expose the problem in the Church of America in 2015. We want the sick to sit over there in the corner. This room is for the well. Some of y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Let me explain a little further. You let somebody walk in this building and they got on a coat and a tie or a dress and heels and they're made up and their hair and what's left of it is dead and their makeup's dead and all that good stuff. Why, we're glad to have you. Want a bulletin? Come right in. You like to sit with me? Come on in here in the well waiting room. Some of y'all don't even like where I'm headed, but I'm going. I'm done on the fast track. You let him walk in here in his blue jeans, tore up, his motorcycle boots, ponytail, earring or two, and half a dozen tattoos, and 7 teeth missing. And the ones he's got hanging on for dear life. What happened? Can you come over here and sit in the sick room? Now, I do hope you're wise enough to know that the fellow that came in the suit and tie, or the lady that came in the fancy dress from the storehouse, she might be lost as a yard dog. And that guy come in his motorcycle boots and earrings and tattoos might be the closest to God of anybody in the house. Jesus reminds us our job is to reach the sick, not the healthy. But I tell you, we got a problem exposed here. Things really haven't changed that much since back in Jesus' day. Jesus, why are you hanging out with the sinners? Why are you talking to that woman at the well? Why are you going over there where the lepers are? Why are you going down there where the deaf are? Why are you touching? Why are you talking? Why are you hanging out with the sick? And Jesus says, because the sick need a doctor, not the well. Now, I want you to understand, there's nothing wrong with a well checkup. There's nothing wrong with getting a physical every now and then. But doctors are not primarily trained to treat the healthy. One of my favorite shows was MASH, and I remember on one occasion one of the physicians was finally going to rotate out and go home. And I remember he was talking, he said, I'm really, and I'm just paraphrasing the storyline, he was really torn. He said, I'm looking forward to going home and seeing my family and getting back to normal. He said, but as a doctor, he said, here in the war zone, he said, I've got to use my skills and what I was trained to do in ways that I'll never do back home. See, you and I both know a doctor. Yeah, I believe a doctor would be happy if somehow they were able to treat everybody and get everybody well. But the truth is, they wouldn't be making the best use of their skills. And we need to understand today that as messengers of Jesus Christ, there's a problem. There's a lot of sick people that need a doctor. Oh, there's plenty of room for the healthy. But I think we're like the doctor's office. We got it mixed up. We got the big, nice waiting room for the well. And we've got the little tiny room with no television and no magazines for the sick. There's a problem. There's sick people. And that problem reminds us of the priority. Listen, Jesus says, look what he says. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. Listen to that statement. That's just right smack in your face. I didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't say I didn't come to spend all my time with the righteous. He didn't say, I didn't come to spend part of my time with the righteous, some of my time with the righteous. He said, I didn't come for them at all. I came for the sick. I came for those that don't know me. I came for the lost. That should be our priority. Listen, I've heard all my life. You want to know what's important to a man? Look at his checkbook and his date book. Where does he spend his money? Where does he spend his time? And I suggest to you, you can do the same thing to our churches. Where do we spend our money? Where do we spend our time? Listen, my name's on the sign out front. I'll take the heat. But it's not just here. It's pretty much every church I know of. Pick up their bulletin. Pick up their newsletter. Pick up their budget. See where they're spending their time. See where they're spending their money. And you'll see they're decorating the well room while the sick room is full of sick and dying. You've moved beyond cow to new gate. Now you look like a mad cow at a closed gate. Listen, Jesus tells us what our priority is. It's not to take care of the righteous. Folks, I've been doing this a long time. I've sat in a lot of living rooms. I've talked to a lot of people. And I can tell you without fail, I have never. Well, let me tell you what I have had. Let me go this way. I always hear this question. What does your church do for the children? What does your church do for the youth? Or what does your church do for the senior adults? Or what does your... That's always the question. In my entire ministry, I have never, never, never... You know what never means in the Greek? Never. Never had anyone say to me, what does your church do to reach the lost? Never. Never. I've never... In my entire life, I've been in a Baptist church all my life. Y'all know that story? I don't know how soon after I was born, but you know, it's not like today where you're born one day and the next day you see your mom and the baby down at the mall. It is before that time, but shortly thereafter, I've been in the Baptist church all my life. There are very few pastors in this whole county. I'm not on a first name base with us, got their phone number in my phone. But I have never heard of a pastor being under the gun, being under heat, being fired because enough people weren't coming to Christ. Maybe because the offerings wasn't where they should be, the youth ministry wasn't what it should be, the music program wasn't what, something silly that really didn't matter. More decorations in the whale waiting room. I hear pastors all the time in all kinds of trouble because people don't like the pictures or the magazines in the whale waiting room. But you don't hear them get in trouble because nobody's doing anything about the sick waiting room. Folks, the Bible tells us our priority. Jesus didn't come so we could swap gifts and sit on Santa Claus's lap and hang up trees and all those kind of things. He came to reach the sick and the lost and the dying. And that should be our priority. And until it is, we're not doing what He wants us to do. As individuals, as church, as churches. Until we get more concerned about the sick waiting room than the well waiting room. I think about my kids' doctor's office. Man, they just don't have one room off to the side. They got a whole different door. They put the sick people over here in this room and the well people over here in this room. Now, I don't need any of y'all to come explain to me why they do that. I understand germs, okay? I'm using that as an illustration. I'm not complaining. I want them sick people over there in that room too. I don't want what they got. Well, half the time, I want to send my kids in the sick waiting room. I'll go sit in the well waiting room if I take them. And y'all let me know when you're done with them when they better. I understand the idea about germs. Listen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is lost people don't have cooties. Lost people need Jesus. And Jesus says, my purpose, my priority, not even to come to the righteous, but for the sick. That's pride. Makes it very simple there. The practice expectant. We say all the time, we like to use the word, I've tried to quit using it, you know that, the word Christian. I prefer the phrase disciple or follower of Christ. But I'll use the word that most of us still use, and that's Christian. The simplest definition, you can define Christian in a lot of ways, you can make it say a lot of things. But the simplest way to define Christian is one word, Christ-like. That's the simplest way. Christ-like. You can stretch it out, you can add all kinds of sub-points, but the simplest way to define Christian is Christ-like. Well, here is Christ-like. Coming for the sick, not the healthy. Coming for the sick, not the healthy. Sunday school teachers, challenge you. When you stand up to teach your lesson, teach for the sick, not the healthy. Deacons, the sick, not the healthy. Committees, budget, preacher, for the sick, not the healthy. When you go out onto the streets, look for the sick. Do you understand that the numbers in Cabarrus County say that 3 out of 4 people are lost? 3 out of 4 people are lost. I tell you what I want you to do this Christmas season. God help you. I know some of you are going to have to. I'll pray for you. You're going to have to go to the mall. You're going to have to go to Walmart. What's really scary is some of you don't have to go. Some of you want to go. I'll pray for you even more. Some of you like to go. Here's what I want you to do. For just a moment, quit looking at junk. And just kind of get off in the corner, find a bench, something, and sit there. And here's what I want you to do. As people pass you, I want you to do this. Not out loud, you might get punched in the mouth. But just stand there and watch and think. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. Go stand at the mall, out in the big common area, where you can see a big crowd of people, and get over in a good vantage point and just stand there. And don't get offended. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. Count them up. However you want to do it. Stand there and count. I hate to put you on math. Just look around. Stand there and count. There's 20 people sitting right over there. 3/4 of them are lost. 15. Get out your calculator if you need it. 15 of those 20 are lost. As you go home today, count cars. As you pass cars, lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, 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 saved. What would they call it if 3/4 of the people in America had AIDS or the flu or cancer? No. You know what makes an epidemic? Only about 4% is considered an epidemic. If 75% had it, if you quarantine, pandemonium, disaster, do you think the government would react if 75% of the people, do you think the Centers for Disease Control would kick into gear if 75% of the people had the flu? We're coming up, I hate to say that, coming up in the season we are, but do you think if 75% of the people in America had the flu that somebody would react, somebody would do something in the government, in healthcare? Do you think there would be some changes? When is the church going to realize it's beyond epidemic? It ought to be pandemonium. It ought to be panic. There ought to be weeping and wailing. There ought to be crying. There ought to be mass response. 75%. Count them. Lost, 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 saved. Lost, Look, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I think that may be generous. Jesus says, those three that went by that were lost, He said, those are the three I'm concerned about. Those are the three. You take care. Let somebody else take care of the safe one. I'm concerned. Look at that statement again. I didn't come for the righteous. I want you to think for one moment, and I'm going to be done. Think about how we do church. Not just us. Think about how the church in 2015 operates. We do church for the church. We do church for the righteous. The way we sing, the way we dress, the way we talk, what we read, everything we do is for the church. Any of you like me, you ever look at your doctor and they get to babbling, whoa, whoa, whoa. Say that in English. Say that in English. Tell me that again. Slow and in English. And I tell you something, folks, the lost of this world is saying to the church, say that slow and in English. Jesus says, I came for the sick. Who are we for? Who are we after? Folks, let's get real. Our children, our grandchildren, our brothers, our sisters. It's one thing when they say there's a flu epidemic in Texas. It's a whole other thing when your grandbaby's the one with the flu. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. The lost epidemic is not in California, in Hollywood. It's right here. When you start counting lost, 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 saved, you want to get real personal about it? Come Christmas, when you have that gathering at your house, and your family, and your friends, lost, 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 saved. I came for the sick. What are we here for? I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. This passage tells me very clearly there's two groups of people. They're the sick and they're the well. You're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I tell you something this morning? In all honesty, based on the authority of the Word of God, you're not in the sick waiting room, you're in the funeral home. The Bible says, without Christ, you're already dead. If you don't know Jesus Christ this morning, you need to come. I want to help you. I want to show you how you can get out of a sick waiting room. How you can be well. How you can be whole. This morning you're feeling way, way far from God. You don't have to feel that way anymore. You feel like a misfit. Can I tell you something? Charlie in the Box said every night, King Moon Racer goes out scouring the world for misfit toys. I want to tell you something. 2,000 years ago, the King of Kings came to this earth and hung on a cross. I don't know about King Moonracer, but the King of Kings loved you enough to die on a cross for you. The King of Kings died and shed His blood so that you don't have to be sick any longer. So that you don't have to be lost any longer. You're a church member. You're involved in church. You're at church. Might even have an office in church, but you don't know Christ. Today's the day to get up out of that sick waiting room and come to Christ. Me or someone else in this church that's been trained will show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But all over this building, the members of Poplar Grove Baptist Church, the Sunday school teachers, the deacons, the leaders, the members of this church need to be on this altar saying, God, get our eyes out of the well waiting room and into the sick waiting room. There's lost and dying all around us. And we're hanging pictures in the well waiting room. Lord, help us to be a church that sees and cares for the sick, just like Jesus, as we stand together. Someone who's in that sick waiting room who needs Jesus. you want to come and kneel and say, Lord, it's my son, it's my daughter, it's my grandchild. Help me, Lord. Help me. Show me what to say, what to do. I've been rearranging the pictures and the magazines in the well waiting room. While people are dying lost without Jesus. Help our church. I've been rearranging the furniture in the well room. Running over. While the sick waiting room is packed. God, help us as a church to reach out to the hurting, to the misfits, to the water guns that shoot jelly, to the trains with square wheels. We pass them every day. Three out of four. We wonder what's wrong with this world. We wonder why they're shooting up doctors' offices. We wonder why there's terrorism. Because the sick waiting room is running over while we're rearranging furniture, while we're hanging pictures in the well waiting room. Jesus didn't come to that barnyard, he didn't come to that stable. So we could have Christmas parades and Christmas plays, pass out treat bags. He came so the sick could get well. If I was to say next Sunday, instead of spending $400 on treat bags, we sent $400 to Lottie Moon. There are some folks that would lose their minds because they didn't get an apple and a pack of chewing gum. Jesus says, I came for the sick, not for the righteous. Next month, we didn't buy Guideposts, we didn't buy Home Life magazines or whatever. We bought Bibles and took them to the homeless shelter. Some of you go out of your minds. More concerned about the literature in the well room than the lost people in the sick room. Appreciate your attention this morning. Remind you real quick several things. Again, we're going to the Operation Christmas Child warehouse Tuesday to pack boxes. If you'd like to go, there's a sign-up sheet. Even if you don't sign up, if you show up, we'll throw you on the bus. Don't even ride through the parking lot. We'll snatch you out of the car and throw you. You know, we're going Tuesday afternoon at 5:15. And so remember that Tuesday. Also, we've had all these tags. We're down to a last couple of tags for children and adults. I've got one left for a child. Good grief. Their initials are AM. It is a 7-year-old female who wants a watch, a robot dog, and a robot cat. Okay, that might be the best kind after all. But anyway, that's the last child we have of that stack of kids. If somebody would please take that one, we need this stuff back by next Sunday. There are still a few of the adults left. I think there's about six of the adults. Y'all have really responded. I think some of y'all have hit a nerve, just like with me, with these adults. There was 30-some of these adults. But these are not, I don't want to say not as important, but because they're wards of the state, there's some money somewhere that they can move around and make sure these folks have their needs. This little girl, they don't have that. And so if somebody would take this tag and, again, have those back by next week, this red tag right here, and take care of that little girl. I have no idea where you'd get a robot cat. I see signs everywhere for free cats, but I don't know where you'd get a robot cat. Somebody telling me the other day about how many thousands of dollars they'd spent at the vet on their cat. And I said, I just saw a sign the other day for a free cat. You know, you could trade that one in. But this little girl, I said, if somebody would take that one, that would be awesome. And again, if you're willing to help with these adults, they're still there. And so remember that. Also, our Christmas play is next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and it'll be out in the new building. So remember that. Christmas Eve service is on Christmas Eve. Okay, I just checking to see. A friend of mine put out a thing that they're having a Christmas Eve service. And I just thought it was a misprint. And no, they're having theirs on Wednesday. And I said, that's not right. You know, remember that Christmas Eve. You can start getting ready for that. There's several different classes and groups having parties. Sunshine Club's got a party planned. I believe it's the 17th. And the calendars are out for 2016. If you happen to pick one up that doesn't have my birthday circled, let me know, and I'll fix that for you. I might have missed a couple of them. I tried to circle my birthday and all of them for you. It's not till September, so you got plenty of time to think about it and put a lot of thought and save up. No. Shh. We're talking about my birthday right now. You got your priorities messed up, Hertha. No. It doesn't come first. My birthday comes first. Y'all got to quit interrupting me when I'm going down the calendar. You get me out of line. I said, I do the important stuff first. The Christmas Carol is Monday and next Monday, right?
No.
That's Monday. That's tomorrow. You're going twice, though, right?
Yeah, Monday and this Thursday.
Okay. Monday and Thursday. So remember that. There's all kinds of, look in the bulletin. There's all kinds of things going on. So keep that in mind. All right, let's bow as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day you've given us, God, for your word. Lord, I pray tonight, today, that you'd take your word, you'd burn it into our hearts. God, your son, he didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sick. And God, we pick up the paper, we turn on the television, we go to family reunions, we go to work, and God, we're surrounded by the sick. God, the sick waiting room keeps getting bigger and bigger. And God keeps getting fuller and fuller. And God, people need to hear of your son and his love. God, let us be instruments. Let us be tools that will go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. We give you the honor for what you do, for it's in Jesus' lovely name I pray. Amen.